It's not too much.
Do I know the little girl? The stripper part? I mean?
Kristen Stewart. She was in Into the Wild.
Oh, I know her.
She's coming out. Yeah. I was in a tiny part in Cake Eaters. And I was up at the Woodstock Film Festival after I started working with Kristen.
Right.
So I'd met her, had a lovely couple of rehearsals with her. Go up and see Mary Stuart Masterson and say, oh, you've got to meet this girl, Kristen Stewart. Well, she is in Cake Eaters that Mary Stuart directed. And Mary Stuart says, she's the girl in Cake
What's
Eaters.
What's Mary Stuart have to do with it?
Mary Stuart Masterson directed Kristen in a film called Cake Eaters that still has not been released.
Cake Eaters.
The Cake Eaters. Okay. Like at a wedding eating the cake. That's what it makes me think of. And she plays a disabled girl in this, and she twists her body in Cake Eaters.
Right.
And I did not put this actress I met in New Orleans together
right.
with the one that I had seen in the
right.
extraordinary talent.
What has happened to the daughter who has passed? Is that an accident?
It was a car accident. It was a car accident when she was 15 years old.
That sounds like a really good piece.
It's a fascinating, amazing piece, and there are, unfortunately, so many parents that lose their children one way or another, and
mm-hmm.
and as I've gone around with Frozen River and What's Next, and, you know, just as was brought up right here, you know, and telling people the story, I have had several people already come up, when is that coming out? Turns out they've lost a child. They want something to reflect their reality.
When do you think it may see the light of day?
I think they'll try and get it into Sundance next January. I think that's their notion with it. They're going to do so often they do that. They edit while they shoot. They bring the editor in, and they're going to be editing. You know, while
when did you finish it?
We're not even done yet. We're still working.
Don't they have to submit by October sometime?
I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah, of course they're fast and. Editing as they go along.
Stranger things have happened. We were barely done with Frozen River when they submitted. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that they thought they were going to have one more go-through before it was actually seen.
But. You know, apart from yourself and the overweight Inuit girl, his name, sorry.
Misty Upham. She's a Blackfeet Indian, and she plays a Mohawk in it.
Not to digress, but that was around the Mohawk Valley, where it was farther north. I know it's near the border.
No, if Mohawk Valley is further south, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, in New York. Yeah. It is where it's Mohawk native country. Mohawks in the in Canada and Mohawks in the United States. There's other Indians up there too. Iroquois is a lot of New York Indians that are Iroquois. That's a little further south.
I see my son up there twice. He goes to Syracuse.
Ah!
It's so horrendous up there. I just hate that. Barren,
desolate,
cold.
Right?
It just doesn't seem to have enough in the way of trees, and it seems so horribly colder than I want to be. You know, I'm not going to get that. You know that area? Do you ever go
I don't
anywhere?
Know it, but I live...
You live in... Douglas
yeah, I
County.
Live down... Ulster County. Yeah. Downstate quite a bit. Quite a bit.
How far is it from... just to get a rough idea, is it cow country, or is it more of the...
It's more barren than that.
Up the Hudson, or is it near...
Where I am?
Yeah.
Oh, where I live is what I like to call it is the foothills of the Catskills.
Okay.
So I'm not up in the mountains, but just at the edges of them.
Okay.
And it is Hudson Valley is another reference point for it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful part of the world. I mean, I find as I travel, you know, to get back there is always a joy.
Last time I was up there was some people had an actual working farm. We drank real milk.
Yeah. It's tasty, right?
It's pretty good. Real sausage.
Yeah, actually there was more of that in southeastern Vermont when I moved up there in the 70s, and then it all died off, that local farming, and now they're building it back up again. As a matter of fact, they're about to open not a major dairy, but a real working dairy farm right in the town that I'm in. Open up a brand new dairy farm. It's a brilliant idea right now.
Yeah.
Keep it local. so much you get from cows.
I was going to say that scene, I really like Michael O'Keefe in Frozen River. I really love that scene where he tries to warn your character without warning her in so many words.
He and I had wanted to work together again probably ever since I worked with him on that TV show he did in Boston. And I called up and, you know, asked if he'd take a look at the script. It was a tiny little part, but would he?
Right.
When I thought we had the money, a year and a half before, and he really liked it, then we didn't get that money. And then when it came up again, we called him again, and he had the time, he came and did it with us. And I think there was something that really appealed to me, and that we've known each other for so many years, that there was almost an intimacy there between the two of them without ever, you know, laying out any story plot or anything, just a deepening of maybe the way that small town caring really happens, you know? I mean, it's possible that the sheriff's department would have some awareness of our marriage and the discord in our marriage, and, you know, has always had an eye on. It's the way it works in small towns.
I still think you should have been a Best Supporting Actress nominee during the 21 Grams year. I just thought you were wonderful in that.
I don't look back on that. I really don't. It opened up a lot of new things for me, and you know, I felt honored to be considered even for that. And
you hear from Alejandro?
I got in touch with him a couple of times. Actually, when they did Babel, he wanted me very much. There's an aunt on the telephone, Brad's aunt. He wanted me very much to do that, and I literally couldn't get on a landline the day that they needed to do it. About a week beforehand, he had to find somebody else to do that aunt part. Guillermo Arriaga, I've kept in touch with some, too. I actually helped him and a German director I know get together, and they might actually do something.
Oh.
No, I don't hear back.
You know
from
everybody.
I know a lot of people. I don't hear back from them very much. Call me back. Ask me again.
Have you had a chance to see Jay? Guillermo's film? Benicio's film?
No, I thought you said Jay, you said Che.
Yeah.
No, I have not, but I really, really very much want to see. There's actually a lot of things I want to see right now, and I never see much of anything, and I'm especially not seeing things right now. But
it's a wonderful performance.
Did you see the whole long version?
Because it's just true behavior, and I love that Soderbergh, as very few directors, doesn't almost, you know, resist trying to give up those moments, those movie moments, those actor moments that are fine if they're great. Obviously, if they're done well, we all know that it's wonderful.
Mm.
But it's kind of almost an expectation. You wait for those power moments, and he doesn't have any power moments, and it's wonderful. It's great, you know?
You're just going along through all the beats
are there.
Yeah.
And I'm in the minority, because everybody's looking for the movie moments. And I thought it was
that project meant too much to him. I mean, I can remember him talking about it back when we were doing 21 Grams, that was something that he hoped to be, you know, he had his eye on it a lot longer than that, too. I'm glad that it was able to be made in a way that you know, was true to something or other anyway, right? Yeah, I really want to see that. I want to see W also, because I know Josh really, really well, and I really want to see his performance in that.
Just emailed him earlier.
Ah.
Nobody is with me on that either. I think he's great in that. I think he's got it exactly right.
I think it's about it being such a hard movie to digest for so many of. What is he saying about? And he's just telling somebody's life story. He's not saying anything about, right?
No, he says basically he's an Oedipal character who's driven by father issues. Pretty clear. It's very, very strong at the end. I mean, it's sad. I never thought that I would feel basically sympathy.
Right. Well, I had seen Josh when he was very first walking into it, when he was doing his first makeup tests for it. And it was I had an inkling of what they were going to do because Josh was doing what an actor does. He wasn't going, oh, I'm doing this, goddamn. He was playing a human being, and he had to get in his skin, and we were best served if we really love our characters and embrace them and know their foibles and, you know.
Would you both care to hear a special tonight?
I'm not terribly interested in getting a meal. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think we're just getting our tea and stuff.
Okay, that's totally fine. In the future, the bakery is usually for...
Okay.
We usually reserve the dining room for...
What can I order to make it better for you?
No, it's absolutely fine. We're so slow tonight. She said it's fine. It's not going to be a problem. It's just they have the big tables in there if you want coffees and teas and stuff like that. And just... so you know in the future, but
okay.
Anything else, let me know.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. The only other one I saw is The Visitor.
Oh, that's nice.
It's nice, yeah. Isn't it great? I think it's wonderful. I think Richard Jenkins is lovely in that. So lovely.
Best thing he's ever had.
Yeah. He's always been good, but he really gets to do something, and it's unexpected. And
yep.
He also was a drummer when he was a kid. So his learning to drum is...
That's funny. I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
In a rock band.
Probably more rock band drumming. But he had done a fair amount of drumming when he was a kid.
That's funny. I just saw him in Toronto at the reunion party. That looks really nice on you. My hair.
Yeah. I get a lot of compliments, and I have a feeling blondes do have more fun.
What?
I have a feeling blondes do have more fun. I find I'm much more easily approached by almost everybody as a blonde than as a redhead.
Very, very nice.
Thank you.
It really goes with you.
Everyone thought it was such a terrible idea except me and the director, and it needed to be done for the part. And.
Who's the director of this film that you and Gandolfini are in?
Jake Scott, Ridley's son.
Ah.
Brilliant, brilliant man. Just like really...
J-A-K-E.
Enormously gifted and has honed the story with the writer Ken Hixon. You know, Ken wrote a beautiful story and Jake has a respect of all.
Mm-hmm.
That is, and I guess he's done a lot of music video, and his shooter's done a fair amount of them doing it together. Mm. So they have this storytelling thing they're really doing with the images. I mean, not like overboard and crazy, but in a way that, like, you know, like the lyric in a song isn't necessarily a story, so sometimes the shooting almost tells a story in those things. That's the experience, you know, as we do it, but it feels like...
You play a couple with... some comfort, some money.
Yeah. Sort of middle class. This is nothing compared to what she's done.
You don't have that worn down look that you have.
No, she won't. She won't. She's very put together and very spends a lot of time on maintenance of herself. And
did you do anything to make yourself? Not sound condescending, but you know, try to make yourself look a little on the ragged edge, a little blue collary, bad foods, anything like that to get into
I would never compromise my health. Never, ever do that. I actually was eating when I work, I eat more healthily than at other times in life. That's too serious a thing to play with. But I had put filth in my nails every day. They were dirtied. I just found a much better trick that would be more permanent from a makeup artist. But I was literally putting black eye pencil under my nails to make... I did my own hair and makeup, the whole thing. Because I knew that we needed it to be very minimal, and yet she was a woman that wore makeup.
So you wouldn't do a supersized McDonald's diet just to get yourself in?
I have often thought of... As a matter of fact, for this role, I had said to Jake, well, when are you shooting, and what are your parameters, and can we set Indiana apart from... Because that wouldn't have been really getting large, but to make myself puffier for the earlier part of the film would have been very interesting in my opinion.
I'm curious.
So I would do that, but you do that in a healthful way.
So to make yourself look puffier, just typically you would what? Drink a lot of beer? What would you do?
Bread. Bread products. Noodles, bread.
Bread products, got it. Yeah.
any of that wheat stuff.
Right.
And then do the opposite, you just take that out of the diet. My body responds very quickly, within days, to that kind of thing.
Right.
You add exercise on top of that, and I can change my body fairly quickly.
You mean stop exercising?
Stop exercising,
yeah.
Or do exercise,
yeah.
Exactly. And then maintaining a sort of, you know, low-level health along in between.
Isn't pasta and cheese also? Isn't that
cheese is very different than the pasta, but pasta, bread,
mm-hmm.
All of that, you know, and then in unexpected places of, oh, a sandwich has bread on it, you know, oh, pizza has bread in it, you know, crackers or
right.
any of that. I wouldn't say all the carbohydrate. I find I take a little bit of rice and potato.
Right.
In just for, you know, solidity of the
diet. You know,
diet.
I'm so desperate for just to have a kind of a sandwich thing. I just, because I miss it, because I've gotten rid of all bread. I tell myself that if I, you know, make it kind of pita bread, it's not going to be as bad as pita bread, but it's the same.
No, I think you're right about that. I think that pita bread is one way of having some bread and being okay about it, and I think whole grain bread is a way to have bread and actually get some nutrition out of it.
Okay.
So often with the white breads, the French breads, I love French breads, probably that's my
right.
bread craving.
Yeah.
All of that is just, there's nothing in it that's helpful to you.
Hmm.
So it's easily taken out without compromising your health, and it'll make me very puffy in a couple of days to eat noodles or very puffy. And that, you know, so in some kind of way like that, in a conscious way of, but, I mean, when you asked about it, I sort of thought, oh, maybe I went to McDonald's every night to get dinner because maybe that's where she was getting a lot of her dinners. But I know I wouldn't, that would be worrisome to me. I would drop food out of my diet. I could do a fasting to do
mm-hmm.
something and really drop. And
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind doing that kind of work. It's a wise way to do it, the stupid way to do it.
You really had a good vibe with the guy who played your son, the young guy.
You know what? I love Charlie. I adore him. There was very little. He's a very quiet young man. He doesn't give up much.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. No, he gives. Yeah. No, certainly not mouthy. He doesn't do all that tricks and does the. I've also only ever observed Charlie out of his. Element of kids his age, you know? I've only ever seen him in an adult environment.
Right.
And he's a very, very restrained young man. And a joy to work with because he was just honest in there with every take. And thank God he was the little boy's cousin. The little boy's not an actor. He had, you know, 11th hour hiring all of it.
Yeah.
And, Charlie helped an awfully lot get the performance out of little boy, keep the little boy on the set. We really needed to try one more take, get him on the set in the morning. His father was there too, and he was very, very well treated. I've seen some, you know, not so pleasant things with children on sets, but there's never anything like that with it. But he was a reticent little actor. And a lot of, you know, you see the back of Ray's head, and I'm saying to the little boy, okay, now say blah, blah, blah. And he parrots me and, you know, edit it together. But Charlie was, she could have used any inch of the footage that Charlie
right.
gave to her. There was no false
yeah.
beat in any of it
yeah.
from him. Oh, and when he first came, I've only heard this from Courtney since we shot, she was a little beside herself because it was not the reticent kid she had expected, the sort of, you know, I don't know what that typical teenager, because my son too was never that acting out, full of himself. I don't know how to describe it.
Sure. Yeah.
And Charlie just played this low-key, soft burn, that sense of responsibility of the older brother was just... uncanny to me. Reminded me, that whole storyline reminded me of my brother with my mother and the man that my brother became, having sort of, you know, put an awful lot of weight on his shoulders, and maybe not in terms of reality, but a lot like the Charlie's character in the film, where
right.
he assumes that responsibility, you know.
I always tell people that, you know, I came from a very comfortable Exurbia, southwestern Connecticut,
You can't be there without a little something.
And, you know, it's just that I don't think there's anything wrong. And you won't find this view from almost any parent. I think there's nothing wrong. And, in fact, many things good if you have to kind of come to grips with things at a younger age. I don't see how that is in any way a bad thing. And every parent that I know, they want to have their kids kind of glide along and be just kind of, you know, be kids, enjoy, relax. You know, life is hard enough when you get older. I just think that, you know, people that grow up early, they're better at handling themselves. They just are, you know.
Yeah, I know. I think there's a lot of truth in that. I'm thinking of a 27-year-old boom operator on a job that was Croatian and had grown up really in the, you know, almost all his life, as soon as he was cognitive anyway, warring times going on around him. And good God, what a mature 27-year-old young man you could not find in America.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Astonishing to me.
Did you have a lot of cruising time in your youth, or did you grow up early as well?
I grew up pretty early. My parents had divorced at about 10, and by the time I was 15, I was living on my own in London. Not because I left home, but more that my mom and I had gone over there, and she had a job, and then the job was done, and I was enrolled in school, and I stayed, and she went back to the States. And
that is the greatest time to be living on your own.
I had a very good time. And I have a lot of self-preservation in me, too, so I don't think there was ever anything terribly worrisome about it, really and truly. Yeah, no, hard knocks, that's how we learn anything. Oh, very, very lucky. My mother had a cousin who was the caretaker of the Hampstead Meeting Place on Heath Street. And down
Hampstead
this,
Heath, up north, near, north of Camden Town?
Yep.
That's a nice area.
Very, very nice area. And I had a very sweet little flat in a neighbor's house.
I have a recollection of there being an elevator near the tube.
Yes, at one time it was the deep, well, certainly the deepest. They usually go up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the deepest tube station elevator in London. It was a little scary to ride up it sometimes because it did take quite a time. And it was different than going up, you know, you're going from the basement up into the world again. It's very, very deep train station. When I was there, too, it was in the 70s, they still had some of the telephone booths in the train station down there had those trunk lines on them. And you could make free calls to the United States if you knew which phone to use.
Yeah, do you go online much? Do you have a
little bit. I don't do a lot of online looking. It's more sort of what comes through my email and, you know, emailing. And a couple of years ago I started posting. I felt like I had so many various and sundry email addresses I'd collected along the way. I began to post a little, you know, like a missive that I would write every month and a half or so. I haven't done it for a little while, but that's been really fun.
I was just thinking, you are talking about London. My son's over there now, my older son, and the VoIP service, like Skype and...
Yes, The Skype, I know.
They're the greatest.
You can talk to him on the...
Pretty cheaply.
No, it seems like such an interesting thing, and it's more of a... I guess the kids do that too, which I never have, where you have a conversation with several people in several places.
And you can also buy, for very little money, the ability to call landlines here, so someone who's not on that service.
Oh, very reasonable.
And it's like, you know, 2 cents a minute or something.
Well, maybe I'll look into that in a little while. I'm going again when I finish the job in New Orleans. I'll go over to Europe for some festivals with Frozen River and try and drum up a little English language European work.
The Jake Scott thing is shooting in New Orleans mainly.
Entirely, and we'll use. Yeah. There's a tiny bit in Indiana. We'll use New Orleans for Indiana.
You missed the weather, I take it.
I have not seen anything untoward in the weathers there. No.
I mean, you started after the...
Oh, the big Katrina and all that?
No, last one.
Oh, there was one. Oh, that's right. There was just even one. See, I pay so little attention to anything. I wasn't
Hugo?
Down there. Yes, Hugo. No, it was a little bit before. There was probably that first handful of pre-production people in town for it. But I had never been to New Orleans ever in my life before.
So you're doing accents, you and
yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Huh. Not New Orleans, but Indiana, which is even harder.
Okay.
Indiana sits between Chicago, which is a very familiar sound, and Kentucky, which is a fairly familiar sound. And it's neither of them, but in between them.
We used to be live next door to some people from Indiana, and I remember it was George Washington.
Washington. That's right. Very good.
What else is it like besides the R?
Well,
let
me see.
It's
now,
funny.
There is a hard R. They like to use their R's hard like that, mm-hmm. and they don't say that. They say that, and it goes from did to dead.
Huh.
He did that.
Huh.
He did that. That. Oh, the other one is God, ta,
mm-hmm.
and the hard R's. It's fun. It's a very fun thing to do. I like to have, that's part of how I work, is using everything that's present and real. The camera, the Darling Brips, the boom op, you know, and then the accent and what that last note the director gave. As well as the knowledge and information from my own, you know.
I'm sorry to not have been listening before, but you say after you finish this, you're going to go to Europe? Or
yeah, I'm going to go over to Europe to do some festival circuits.
Festival circuits?
Yeah.
What festivals would that be?
I'm going to go to Thessaloniki in Greece. I'm going to go to Marrakesh, and then up to Paris.
What's the matter? Is it just called the Marrakesh Film Festival?
I think so. I'll find out more in a little while.
And that's in December?
Not even December. That'll be the end of November for me.
Hmm.
And then in December, I got nominated for Gotham Award. Did you hear about that?
Yes. That's just a few days ago.
Just a few days ago. So that's December 2nd, that's in New York, December 2nd.
I'll be at that one.
Oh, grand. Oh,
I'm
good.
I'm going to move to New York for a few months.
Oh, my.
My ex moving to Hoboken,
mm-hmm,
around there,
mm-hmm.
and that means the boys will
mm-hmm.
be here during the summer. And I found this place north of there a little bit. It's only 50 minutes across the river.
On the Jersey side?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, grand. Yes, now I remember talking with you also about your children and all. Yes, I remember that.
I'm very, very much like, I grew up in New Jersey, in Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
and I feel very... very good about that area.
Oh, good. Yeah, I can't not go back there. I would hate to think of some day that would come that would say, you know, you can't reside there anymore and go back and call it home. And
you know,
just the whole notion of the East Coast, all of it, from New York City and up where I am now and Vermont. And
how much of a drive is it if you wanted to go into town?
From my house into the city is about 2.5 hours. Well, I would say it is 2.5 hours out my door to inside the audition, to park the car and all the rest of about
if
2.5 hours.
If you wanted to, could you take a train?
I could take a train, but it takes me more than an hour to get across the river to the train. So there's a bus. Adirondack Trailways has been operated by a family up there for, I don't know, how many years? 60, 70 years? And it's a great little bus line and going to my favorite Port Authority.
First thing I'm going to do when I first play is I'm going to go see your competition, Kristen Scott Thomas.
And what is she doing?
She's doing the seagull.
Oh, yes. Somebody was talking about it the other day. That's what I was going to think it was.
Sure, it's great.
It's a fabulous play, man.
Peter Sarsgaard. You ever done that play?
Only in... at SUNY Purchase when I was there, I did a lot of work on Nina, which I will never get to play on the stage now.
But. I saw Chris Walken at the Public way back in the
80s. Yep, I remember that.
Really?
Yep.
So you were in New York?
Do people ever think that you're reminiscent of Chris Walken?
Mm,
yeah.
I get that.
Yeah. But then you say also Connecticut, too, and that's the stomping ground.
Actually, I met him at Westport train station once.
Uh-huh.
The manager was Bill Tresh.
Bill Tresh was my manager for years.
I guess he was up there or something.
Yep. Remember
being up at Westport also, and who else? Tom Berenger.
Yes, exactly. Right. Oh, they were all up there for a while.
And I remember Tom Berenger had that look that I've seen on certain, like, you know, if he thinks he's been made by somebody, he gets that look on his face. Oh, no, somebody's gonna come over. And I see that look developing on his face right away. And the rascal in me came out, and I thought, you know, if I wanted to be a real, just to fuck with him, I would go, you know, like a scene in Annie Hall where a guy goes, hey, you know, and do the whole thing and make him miserable, but I didn't. Anyway.
I never knew Tom at all. Yeah. Chris, I got to know just a little bit back in the early days.
Eric Roberts, wasn't he one?
Yep. He was indeed. I knew Eric a little bit too.
So
Sandy
Bill
Dennis.
Fresh, I don't mean to sound. Is he still doing everything
he
used to do?
He's doing what he's always done, to a degree. Earlier this year, he called me and told me he was retiring.
Oh.
So I took him at his word and moved along. And he has not, in fact, retired. But
I don't understand. If you really love it. I mean, what actor or writer wants to retire, you know?
Well, that was what felt a little fishy when Bill called me. But honestly, I think it was after, you know, all the years of my career.
Yeah.
From day one, doing a play with Chris Walken at the Public Theater. And George Walken said to him, you got to meet this girl. Mm-hmm. At the same time I was working with, do you remember Graham Beckel?
Wait.
Graham Beckel?
No.
He was from that same boys club in New York.
Okay.
Which we speak, and was a client of Bill's too, and he doesn't really act so much anymore. Every once in a while, Graham will show up in something. I was doing All My Children with Graham Beckel, and the play at the Public with Chris.
Oh, Beckel.
Beckel.
Oh, yeah, I thought he was a director, though. No?
No, Graham's never. Oh. No. Oh, maybe that's what he's doing now. I'm not sure. I know he did an Army commercial some time ago.
So since you you matured early and didn't really have a languorous, relaxing youth to your benefit, so you didn't ever backpack around Europe and go to Marrakesh or any
I have
place?
Never been to Marrakesh. I can't wait to go to Marrakesh, someplace I've always wanted to go when I was growing up. I had friends that... her little sister was born in Morocco because the parents worked for the UN. And so Betamy was born in Morocco, so I had an awareness of it from the time I was seven, eight years old. This mystical, magical country. So, you know, I'll have 48 very busy hours in Marrakesh, but at least I can say I got there once.
When I went there kind of as a traveler, and the deal is, you know, you get they swarm upon you, the kids. And it could be an entirely different thing, but I remember the little kid that we, I was with my girlfriend at the time, we would tell all these kids, we don't want anybody being our guy, thank you, you know, but they wouldn't leave us alone. We finally said yes to this guy. You say yes to somebody, and he will get rid of all the other kids. Dirhams a day or whatever it was, and then they take you in the Medina to all their uncle's shops.
Right, to all their uncle's shops, all their many uncle's shops, exactly. I don't know that I'll even have time for all that kind of fun, the way these trips go. I mean, it's possible we'll get an afternoon of it, but honestly, you know, I think it's 2.5 days in Thessaloniki, and you're guaranteed at least a half a day, if not a full day of press.
Uh-huh, sure.
And then a day of, you know, that the film is screened and the Q&A and all of that. So maybe an afternoon walking around. I hope.
You gotta do that at least a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
And be careful of the food.
Yes, I don't know what I'll do about that. You know what, down in New Orleans, bless those people, I discovered that even the ice cubes, like in Mexico, even the ice cubes in your drink don't sit well with me.
Right. Yeah, I imagine.
Because they're made from the tap water, I'm sure of it. And I couldn't figure out what was making me feel, not like downright sick, but and like I said, you know, when I'm working, I'm like, so I stopped having ice in anything, and I feel better.
Is the Marrakesh in mid-November, late November?
Let's see, I leave, it's mid-November, I think around the 19th, but don't quote me on that.
It's such a beautiful cut. I remember it's so it's kind of color coordinated. The entire city is all terracotta.
That's what the my images of it are, that it's just this feast for your eyes,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I've spent time shooting in Karachi, Pakistan, and there was amazing, intricate beauty to that strange industrial town.
Hmm.
But it's an industrial port city, you know, filthy, dirty, dust-covered reality. So, you know, I don't know. With Marrakesh, I just feel like there's that whole Moroccan thing that where beauty is so important.
Mm.
Well, maybe it's a sort of beauty that appeals to me too. I don't like those clean, hard lines. It's not so beautiful to me. But all that weaving and tapestries and things hanging off of things, I love all that. It's my hippie upbringing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a film that's after all this touring around?
Well, I just found out today, I played America Ferrera's mama on a TV show, and she called me a few months ago. Jeannie McCarthy is casting this film that her boyfriend, Ryan, now I won't remember all his names, he has two more names, has written this beautiful script about a young man coming home from Iraq called American Tragic.
Huh.
So there's a small part of his mother in that I know I'll do in February.
Huh.
A couple of things on the table. I have a script in which I would play Betty Davis that I'm trying to find a
that's great.
Way to get going on. Betty Davis as Betty and Joan made Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
That's pretty
and
good.
It's a great tale about female actors working. Not only those two icons.
Too young looking.
But
to play that.
I would have to do a whole bunch of stuff anyway to get her. You couldn't play Betty Davis without doing something to your eyes. You know, that heavy lid she has and stuff. I was talking to this makeup artist who's doing us in New Orleans. She's fabulous, amazing makeup artist. And she says, yeah, you could definitely do something and get those eyelids. And
that's such a impact. That's such a huge, the gay guys love that film.
It was written by a couple of gay guys. And it's great insight into the whole female actor thing about how we look. And Betty would not do that shit. She was a character-driven actress. Mm-hmm. She worked from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And Joan was just the opposite. And I've observed many a female actor along my way that has made me in awe of their ability. Susan Lucci, Joanne Wally Kilmer in Scarlet, to wear those wigs and costumes and makeup and all day long without a, you know, lean on leaning boards in 1980. I just think it's just not, you know, quite the way that I work. And so that thing, and the final, to give away the end of the movie, which of course we already know so much about anyway, Betty looks at Joan across the studio and goes, oh, fuck, I could have been her friend. She could have been my friend. Allies. And I have such a theory about this whole, like, your competition. Oh, who's your competition? Maybe I'm being included in this club of talented people. That's what I see. And it's not like a race where we've all done our work already,
no,
as a matter of fact.
It's just that people, your name was brought up early as you know, one of the best people here, and then she's definitely in there also.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think of the two of you.
Yeah. I'm honored to think of it that way. But you should, you know, draw in the end of that thing. It's about that thing of not pitting us against one another. The other thing, the other reason it happens like that is that so often it's 12 guys in a movie and one chica.
Yeah.
You know? And so if there's only, then, you know, complicated. It's full of a lot of complications.
Mm.
And I think there's enough sort of seeing the other as enemy to get a little bit bigger.
Are they going to shoot the Baby Jane movie in black and white, like the film itself?
I don't know. That's the thing, is we have a script, a really, really nicely written script, beautifully written, in fact. And it does use a lot of footage or shooting of not only that film, but other films of the time. Olivia de Havilland is in it at one point. How do you do that? I think that's something that it's best left to a director. And when we find a director, begin to hone in on how would be best to do that, to use some footage and try and be that much like her? To reshoot the footage? I don't know. But there would be absolutely, there'd have to be makeup involved, because there's some amount of years progression through it, and also to really look more like her. So.
I just love feeling your intensity. It's really cool.
Oh, it's my whole life. I wish I would, you know.
Yeah.
It's really my joy and my pleasure and my passion and my religion and all of it, really, truly.
Have you ever met Clint Eastwood, you know, socially or
I'm
ever?
Trying to think if I've ever actually been in the room with him. And I don't believe that I ever have. When my son was growing up, I think his dad might have worked with him. Or something that made his name come up in a more familial way in our house. And my son, who has dyslexia, said, "Oh, you know, Mom, that East, you know, East Clintwood." So we call him East around my house, even though I've never met him. I auditioned for this movie that's coming out now. Not for the lead part, she was set in it. But
you mean Changeling?
Yeah.
Oh.